Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with another lesson on the spirit of adoption. This is part three, and we are looking at Galatians chapter 4 and verses 8 through 11. I'll read these verses and you follow along in your Bible. However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. The Apostle Paul now refers to the former life of the Galatian Christians. Verse 8, however, at that time when you were not a Christian, before you came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, when you lived in the world and worshiped idols, however, at that time, when you did not know God, when you did not have a relationship with God, yes, you lived in the pagan world, and if you were a pagan, you worshiped idols. If you were of the Jewish community, you sought to follow the law of Moses as an end in itself, and in each case, there is a legalism inherent in what you did. You sought to please God, the God of the Bible, worshiping Him falsely by serving Him with your deeds, expecting that there was a payoff at the end because of what you did. And similarly, if you served idols, you did the same thing. You thought by appeasing the idols, you would have right standing with them, with the gods behind them. That was your thinking. Verse 9, but now that you have come to know God, now that you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, now that you have seen Jesus Christ demonstrated to you on the cross, bearing your sins and paying the penalty due to you for your sins, and now that you have believed in Jesus Christ and put your trust in Him, and you thereby know God and have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that's what Paul is talking about. And it seems now that Paul offers a little correction. Look at verse 9 again. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, is Paul correcting himself? I think not. Remember, the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of the living God. The Bible does not contain errors. The Bible does not come along and correct itself, and Paul is not correcting himself since he is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Rather, the Apostle Paul is actually using a little rhetorical device to emphasize this idea of knowing God. And what is it to know God? Or as our Lord puts it in John 17 and verse 3, what is eternal life? He answers the question, and this is eternal life, that you may know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. To speak about knowing God is a perfectly acceptable way of speaking about our relationship with the great God of heaven. And now Paul is adding this idea, which includes the sovereignty of God. Look at the text again. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, You see, when you properly understand the salvation brought to you by the living God, you realize that you have nothing to offer to God, and that God sovereignly takes you to Himself out of love. What an amazing thing. You are known by God. John puts it this way: you love because He first loved you. In order for you to respond to God and to love Him, He must first love you. His Spirit must first be given to you to change your heart before you can express faith in Jesus Christ. That's the wonderful thing. And so it's all of God. It's all of grace. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. And as you realize this is the case, you can rest in the great love of God. And so Paul asks the question, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? Why is it, if you were a pagan, do you turn back to your pagan idolatry? If you were Jewish, or if you are Jewish, why do you turn back to the ceremonial law? Why do you do this sort of thing? You see, you observe days and months and seasons and years. In paganism, you watched for the new moon, and you guided your life by the precepts of the sun god. And if you were in Judaism, you followed the feasts of the Mosaic law as an end in themselves. And you did your thing expecting the payoff from God and expecting that God would pat you on the back for doing the right thing. Why do you fall back in this way? Paul says, I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. Yes, Paul, having suffered so much, having been persecuted, and having labored very much to bring the gospel to the Galatians, to see them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the gospel. He says, have I labored so much in vain? In verse 19 he says, my children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. The compassion and the love that the Apostle Paul has for the Galatian Christians, thinking of them as his own children. Well, we can think about our own families, can we not? You see, the Apostle Paul is bringing forward the thread of the spirit of adoption. In verses 6 and 7, he says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And Paul is saying to these Christians, there's a danger of you turning back away and adding works to faith as though that was the way of salvation. And again, I say to you, the apostle is speaking to the Galatian Christians as adopted children. And so you and I can look at our own families and our own children, and we can look at our adopted children, or the adopted children with whom we have the privilege of working. As adopted children of God may fall back temporarily away from the pure gospel of grace, when adopted children in our own families or adopted children with whom we have the privilege of working fall back into their old patterns of life so that the old fears arise. And so that the old ideas of anger and anxiety once again arise in their hearts. You and I should not be surprised. We should not be surprised to see some Christians temporarily fall away from the true gospel. And we should not be surprised to see adoptive children fall temporarily away from the new life into which they have been brought. And so I say to you, this is part of the lesson of the text which is before us, that the old ways of fear and anger can once again arise in the hearts and minds of adopted children. And how are we to handle, how are you to handle the fear and the anger of children who have been adopted? Well, I suggest to you that one of the things that you need to do is exercise what we call the ministry of presence. You simply need to be there to embrace these children and to love these children. When a little baby experiences fear, what do? You don't put the little baby in the crib and say everything will be all right and then walk away. No. You pick up that little child and you hold that little child close to your own breast. And you snuggle that child and pat that child and perhaps hum a tune to that child. And you exercise the ministry of presence. And soon the fear subsides. And soon the anger subsides. And the child relaxes. And what do you need to do with bigger children who fall back into former ways and experience fear and express anger? No, you don't meet that anger with anger. You don't meet that fear with fear. Once again, you exercise the ministry of presence. And you may have to take them and embrace them and hold them for a period of time, not saying a word, but just letting them know that you are there, and with them in your arms, they are safe. They have found a place of safety. And soon the fear and the anger subsides. Yes, the ministry of presence. It seems to me this is part of the lesson and part of the application of our text. And especially as you link with it the idea Paul gives us in verse 19. My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Paul looks at the individuals in the church as his own children. And we could naturally look at those who have been adopted into our families as our own children. And we ought to do the same. And what should we desire for them? Yes, not only that fear should subside, and not only that anger should subside, through the ministry of presence, but through our example and through our teaching, through your example and through your teaching, Jesus Christ would be formed in them so that they would know the love of God poured out in their hearts through the Holy Spirit given to them, so that they would know the Spirit of adoption and be able to cry out to the Heavenly Father, Abba, Father, so that they would sense the security of not only the church family, but of their own family, so that the church family and the physical family of which they are a part works together, all the members of the body working together as a system to be one, so that in that place security is found and fear is overcome and anger is gradually overcome. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if Christians lapse back into their former ways. Love them, embrace them, exercise the ministry of presence with them. And don't be surprised if your own children or adopted children lapse back into their old ways. Don't be surprised, and don't meet anger with anger or fear with fear, but exercise the ministry of presence. And as you do so, and as the gospel of Jesus Christ is also brought to bear on the lives of these adopted children especially, and they learn the love of God poured out in their hearts, and they learn your love in the ministry of presence, the fear will subside, and the anger will subside, and step by step, Jesus Christ will be formed in them. This is part of the lesson of understanding properly the spirit of adoption. Thanks for listening.